A forgotten dark chapter of American history with implications for the current day, the guarded gate, bigotry, eugenics, and the law that kept two generations of Jews, Italians, and other European immigrants out of America, by Pulitzer Prize finalist and author Daniel Okrent, tells the story of the scientist who argued that certain nationalities were inherently inferior, providing the intellectual justification for the harshest immigration law in American history, brandished by the upper-class Bostonians and New Yorkers, many of them progressives, who led the anti-immigration movement. The eugenic arguments helped keep hundreds of thousands of Jews, Italians, and other unwanted groups out of the U.S. for more than 40 years. Daniel Okrent's new book is The Guarded Gate. It's published by Scribner, and it's a great pleasure to welcome him to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure to be here.
What brought you to this story?
My last book was about Prohibition and how it was called Last Call, The Rise and Fall of Prohibition. It's how Prohibition came to be and what the effect was on American life. And in the process, I learned that a lot of the Prohibition movement was based on an anti-immigrant feeling, that the Baptist and Methodist churches, primarily of the middle of the country, saw themselves, believed themselves to be losing the country to the political machines made up of immigrant populations in the large cities of the Northeast. And the intensity of the anti-immigrant feeling was so great in this period that I looked at it a little bit more and then kind of moved away. And about 4 years ago, I guess 4 or 5 years ago, as the immigration issues began to arise again in our time, I thought about that and jumped in to take a deeper look. And what I found was the eugenics movement as being one of the primary drivers and most effective implements that the anti-immigration movement had.
When it comes to that movement, give us a sense of the timeline of where you wanted your story to start.
Well, the story really starts in two places. There are two different stories. One is the beginning, the rise of intense anti-immigration feeling aimed at the peoples of Eastern and Southern Europe. And that begins around 1890, 1895, at a time when the very large immigration from southern Italy particularly, and also from the Russian Empire of Jews fleeing the pogroms and the czarist laws that had kept them confined to certain areas where they could live and limited in what occupations they could follow. That drove the immigration and the arrival of the largely impoverished people from the Russian Empire in southern Italy created this explosion of anti-immigrant feeling. For 20 years, the people who wanted to change the law to keep these people out, largely a group of northeastern Boston and New York aristocrats, many of them progressives, they got nowhere. They weren't making any progress in their efforts to keep out the eastern and southern Europeans. And then they found the eugenics movement. The eugenics movement begins in the UK in the 1860s. The notion that populations can be improved by planned breeding. Francis Galton, the man who coined the term eugenics, said that, you know, we should find our best young people, 5,000 best young women and 5,000 best young men, put them in an arranged marriage, in arranged marriages presided over by a wedding in Westminster Abbey, presided over by Queen Victoria, and then pay them an annual stipend so they don't have to work. They can instead just get to work busy making babies to improve England. This notion of improving a population through planned breeding was the origin of eugenics. But here in the U.S., the anti-immigrationists saw the other side of it, which is that you could also improve a population by limiting breeding of the people that you didn't like or that you didn't think that were genetically sufficient. They picked up on what had been an individual idea. Let's keep out of the country people who were epileptics, who were blind, who were deaf, who had other congenital problems, to instead let's keep out whole ethnic groups, whole nationalities, whole racial groups, because they claimed they were inferior.
One of the things that is so surprising about the story, at least it was surprising to me, is the cast of characters that you're playing with. This is quite a group of people who have a hand one way or another in the decisions that are being made.
Yeah, and it's surprising people. The number of people who were progressives, even socialists, who were very active anti-immigrationists, it's really surprising. There was a man in Boston, Joseph Lee, a very prominent figure and a beloved figure in Boston, who was called by many the first citizen of Boston, who supported every progressive cause under the sun, was secretly at first and then openly. He was the financier of the anti-immigration movement. He, as chairman of the Boston School Committee, he wanted to keep schools open at night so that immigrants could learn English, but at the same time, he was funding a movement to keep them out of the country. It was as if he were saying, keep out, but once you're here, we're going to have to try to civilize you. In some of his private correspondence, Lee said such things as, soon Europe will be drained of all of its Jews, no doubt to its benefit, but not to ours. He also said that he funded the anti-immigration movement out of fear of the U.S. becoming, he said, a Dago nation. And you find these concepts these terms permeating the aristocratic upper classes of the Northeast.
When it comes to this, just the anti-immigration notion, given how this nation was founded, why is it, in your opinion, still persistent and was persistent in the story you tell in your volume?
It's been a cyclic thing in American history going back to even before the founding of the Republic. In the 1750s, Benjamin Franklin wrote some incredibly anti-German statements about how the Germans who were coming into Pennsylvania were destroying the colony. And you know, then you go through periods where immigrants are welcomed largely because of labor shortages. You know, there's a big need for people to build the railroads. There was a need for the lumber camps and the mines of the West to be staffed up. And then it closes down. Then it's keep out, come on in, keep out, come on in. And I think, you know, obviously we're seeing another version of that today, another iteration today.
So with that, in the cycles, we can only see that it will continue to come back. And we're not only seeing it, of course, in this country. We're seeing it across the world.
Absolutely. And that connects to a kind of a core tenet, a core a bulwark that supports the eugenicist idea, the belief that some people are better than other people, some races or ethnicities are better than other races or ethnicities. And inevitably, surprise, surprise, people think that their own ethnicity is fine and it's somebody else's that's not so fine. And they got to have somebody else to look down on and to want to keep out of the country.
When you started the story of the guarded gate, what were the surprises for you in the sense of how this worked and how this movement and these arguments for these eugenic arguments really were able to gain traction?
Well, I was surprised by how what appears from the distance of today to be absolutely bogus science, at the time, how widely it was accepted and what were the institutions that were promoting it. It was the Rockefeller Foundation and the Carnegie Institution of Washington, Cold Spring Harbor Laboratories, the American Museum of Natural History, Harvard, Princeton, Stanford. This was the eugenic juggernaut arose from all of those places with very little opposition. And, you know, it was as if it was almost a fad, but it was a fad promulgated by very prominent, respectable and respected people.
Well, the name of the book is The Guarded Gate. It is published by Scribner. Daniel Okrent, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you again. The name of the book is The Guarded Gate. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.